Welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. The phone number for you is 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. I promise you I'm doing a little bit of a better job of reading your tweets. I did two or three at the end of the show yesterday, and I will try to do some more.
Last week you did a couple.
And I will try to do more today.
So all about improvements.
If you want to get on social media, it's incremental improvement is all you're looking for.
Yes.
He's Jeff Fiegels. I'm John Schmelk. Thanks so much for being part of the show. Obviously, we're in the offseason. Yesterday, we spent a little bit of time on the free agency period and who might be sitting there for the New York Football Giants. If you have some questions off of yesterday's show, we can certainly go there. But today, I kind of want to touch on something that I kind of had a bit of an aside on yesterday, and I threw out a couple, you know, random things, but I want to kind of get more in-depth into it now because a lot of people, and this kind of comes from Paul Dottino. He's the guy that's kind of thrown this out first about the Giants potentially, Jeff, trading down in the draft from number two.
Oh, so he wants credit for it if it happens. Is that why he
threw
it out there?
I'm sure he does. So I will happily give him some credit, even though it's not exactly, you know, breaking the atom here as a new idea. So here are the Giants' options. If they pick at two, Jeff, let's start here. Their basic options are a quarterback, Saquon Barkley.
Stop there.
Chubb, the pass rusher, or trade down.
Okay.
Those are your four picks. Those are your four options, okay?
Yeah.
You got your quarterback, you got Barkley, you got Chubb, or you can trade down. Those are your four legitimate options at number two, okay? Looking at the draft order, and we can stop and we can start there. If
Brown.
The Giants do want to trade down, the team, presumably, that would be trading up to number two, would want a quarterback, correct?
Okay. It ain't going to be number six.
So, the only two teams, and my rule for this is that I do not want to trade out of the top 10.
Okay, so stay in the top 10.
Do you agree with that? You want to get a premium player. You don't want to drop out of the top 10. I think that's fair, right?
It depends on what they're going to be giving you.
Here are the teams that pick in the top 10. Obviously, the Browns are at 1, Giants 2, Colts at 3, Browns at 4. Neither the Browns nor the Colts are going to trade with the Giants for a quarterback. They can pick one if they want in those spots, and the Colts don't need
sure.
one, okay?
Yeah, they don't need to move up.
So, at 5 and 6, you have the Broncos and the Jets. Those are two teams that do need a quarterback. At 7 of the Bucks,
nope.
Jameis Winston. 8, the Bears, Mitch Trubisky.
We
9, the Niners,
nine.
Jimmy Garoppolo and all his money. And by the way, he will not be the highest paid player for long. That'll be Kirk Cousins in a few weeks, and then it'll be Aaron Rodgers after that. So, it's all a cycle. At 10, you have the Raiders. No quarterback there. So, the next team that might pick a quarterback is maybe the Dolphins at 11, maybe Bengals at 12, Redskins, they just got Alex Smith for all that money. So maybe the Dolphins at 11, and maybe I would consider going down that far. I wouldn't want to. So you're looking at basically either 5 or 6 if you trade down, okay? Now here's a realistic return if you're going from 6 to 2 or 5 to 2. You're going to get that team's first-round pick next year, and you're going to get their second-round pick this year, okay?
Okay.
Maybe you might get something else along the way, but those are the two major pieces of return, and I think that's a good return to move down 3 or 4 selections to pick up an extra 2 this year and an extra 1 next year. I think that's a fair trade. Do you agree?
An extra 1 next year, so they're getting the next year's number 1 draft pick.
But you know what? Even if you don't, I'm going to throw that out of the equation.
That's a big one.
It is a big one.
Yeah.
But that's generally to move up to 1 or 2. That's been the price of admission over the last decade or so.
All right, so let's just stay with that then. If that's been the price of admission, then
but in our analysis here, there's no way for me to predict who the Giants could pick with a first round pick next year. So we're not even going to discuss that part of it. So we already know if the Giants pick number 2, they're going to get Barkley, Chubb, or quarterback, right? Okay. So if you trade down, you would then have the 5th or 6th pick in the draft. All right? At the 5th or 6th pick in the draft, here are some of the players that you could select, okay?
They're guessing that they're going to be there because of what's up here.
They most certainly will be there because you figure if the Giants do trade back from 2 between the Browns and whomever trades with the Giants, that you're likely going to have
two quarterbacks.
And if the Giants are picking 6th and the Broncos are 5th and they don't sign Kirk Cousins, probably 3 quarterbacks are going to be gone, okay?
Yeah.
So I would have a decent amount of kind. The Colts will not pick a quarterback at 3, okay? So I have fairly strong confidence that these players would be there at 5 or 6 for the Giants.
Okay.
You have the consensus top offensive lineman in the draft, the guard out of Notre Dame, Quentin Nelson,
okay,
who some people have him as their highest graded player in the whole draft.
Wow.
Okay? You have Minkah Fitzpatrick, mm-hmm, who is a hybrid defensive back from Alabama. He's one of those guys, in my opinion, that really kind of fits what James Betcher wants as a guy who can go from corner to safety, okay, to slot, to linebacker. He can kind of do all those different things, which is the type of player he had in Arizona, which you talked about earlier in the week, with the Deion Buchanans, with the Buda Bakers, with the Tyrann Mathieu, guys like that. Okay?
And he can play corner.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Unlike Landon Collins.
I'm not sure he's going to be a Jalen Ramsey-level corner, but he played slot a lot at Alabama. Okay. Let me put it that way, okay? You have a choice of probably two linebackers, Roquan Smith, and then Tremaine Edmonds, who I think might jump Roquan Smith by the time this draft process is over.
We know where the Giants have gone with linebackers.
New regime, though.
Yeah.
So who knows what this regime's going to think about it. And there's no question the Giants need speed at linebacker.
No question.
Edmonds and Smith have plenty of speed at linebacker. And both guys, in my opinion, are worthy of a top 12 pick. Okay? You'll have one of the four quarterbacks probably still on the board. Whichever one has not been selected, whether it's Allen, Mayfield, Darnold, or Rosen.
Because you're assuming the two are probably going to go above.
Or three, maybe, depending if the Giants pick six, that they do make their trade with the Jets, which I know you think is unlikely, but I'll leave it as an option.
No way that will ever happen.
One of the quarterbacks should still be there,
okay,
if the Giants are picking fifth or sixth, okay? So those are one of the four players they could get if they select fifth or sixth. Now, if they do this trade, Jeff, they'd be able to select one of those four players. They'd also be able to, folks, then select two players at the top of the second round because they would have their own pick, which would be the 34th pick in the draft, and then they'd have another pick, which would be the 35th, 36th, the 37th, or 38th, depending on where if they would trade down to the 5th or 6th spot, okay? So I made a little list here of a couple of positions that I know fans have a need at.
So let's just back up real quick. So
back it up.
Theoretically,
yes,
the Giants could have three of the first 36 picks.
Yes.
Right? Because they're going to trade down.
That's correct.
They're going to get a second, high second, and they're going to have their second. So that's three of the first 36.
That's correct.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay.
Following you.
So now those two picks that would take place between 34 and 38.
Okay.
It would be probably three of the first 38 picks.
Okay.
Between 34 and 38. Here are the offensive linemen that I believe would be worth selecting with a first or second round, or let me put it this way, a top 40 pick in the draft.
Okay, all right, okay? I see what you're going. Yeah.
I already did Quentin Nelson, that's one. Will Hernandez, the guard out of UTEP. Isaiah Wynn, the guard out of Georgia. Billy Price, a guard center at Ohio State. And James Daniels, a guard center out of Iowa.
And tell me how these guys are going to still be there.
Well, I'm not done.
Oh, okay.
Offensive tackles. Those are just the interior guys.
Oh, those are okay.
At offensive tackle,
okay, I got
you have big Orlando Brown, Zeus. You have Connor Williams, a tackle out of Texas. You have Matt McGlinchey, the tackle out of Notre Dame. And then, not Billy Price, then there's an offensive tackle out of Ohio State.
Okay.
That some people also believe might be worth an early second rounder. He's kind of a fringe guy. I haven't looked at him yet. I'm not sure where he would go. That would be Jamarco Jones. I'm not sure if he is worth that selection there. So you're looking at either, including Quentin Nelson here, Jeff, 8 or 9 offensive linemen I think are worthy of a top 40 pick. I would find it hard to believe that in the top 34 picks in the draft, 9 are going to be offensive linemen.
If I had to guess, I'm going to guess that there's going to be at minimum 4.
And I think there's a good chance there's 7 even.
Yeah.
I think there's a good shot at that.
Minimum 4, maybe
but
7.
My theory, though, is that of these 8 or 9 guys, one of them is probably going to be there when the Giants pick at 34.
Okay? You hope it's a tackle.
You do. But you might not have that fortune, okay?
Yeah.
So theoretically now, you already are going to have one of those four players we talked about at 5 or 6, Nelson, Fitzpatrick, and one of the linebackers, okay? You're going to have one of these offensive linemen, then a 34. Now, the other position that I know Giant fans are excited about, why they want to draft Saquon Barkley, is they want a running back, okay? So if you're drafting, let's say, Quentin Nelson in the first round, you draft one of these tackles in the second round, you know, you get Norwell in free agency, you know what? Now you're ready for a running back because you have an offensive line that can block a little bit, okay? So obviously Saquon Barkley is going to be cut at that point, and you're not going to get him.
Yeah.
No duh, okay? There are a lot of good running backs in this draft.
Historically, there has been a lot of good running backs in these rounds that you're going to be talking
about.
In the
late first, early second round, you
can
get some
third.
Very good players, okay? So here are some running backs that the Giants could select with that 38th or 39th pick in the second round that they would have gotten in that trade down, okay? You have guys like Darius Geis out of LSU, who some consider a top 20 talent, but from 20 to 30, there aren't a lot of teams that need running backs. So theoretically, if he doesn't get selected there, he could drop to the early second round.
Yep.
I don't think he'll be there,
but
not impossible. Ronald Jones, who's a very versatile back from USC. He played with Sam Darnold there. Jamal Charles is the kind of the comparison I've heard for him. He's a slasher. He can catch. He could do a little bit of everything. Sony Michel from Georgia. Everyone saw what he could do during the national championship playoffs. Nick Chubb, his teammate from Georgia. I'm not sure I would pick him that early, but a lot of people do like him. Kerryon Johnson, running back out of Auburn, that had a nice year this year. Big, powerful guy. And then Rashad Penny, who we saw in the Senior Bowl from San Diego State, a rush for nearly 2,000 yards last year. So I guess my questions for fans would be this. Fans, would you rather have, for the ones that, I'm going to take the quarterback out of the mix here for a second. For you guys that want to draft Barkley with your first pick, okay? With the second pick in the draft.
So no trading.
Would you, well, I'm going to give you two scenarios. If you don't trade down, you get Barkley, and you get one of these offensive linemen, okay? Those are the two players you get in the first and second round. If you trade down to 5 or 6 and acquire that extra second round pick, you would get Quentin Nelson, or let's say one of the defensive players, Fitzpatrick or the linebacker, okay? You get one of these offensive linemen, and you get one of these second-tier running backs.
And you're also getting a first-rounder next year.
Or maybe a second-rounder next year if you can't get the one out of them. The bottom line is that this is plus more assets, okay? Mm-hmm. Whatever that asset's going to be, and you try to get that one for next year. So to me, Jeff, this is a no-brainer situation. I'd love to get your opinion on this. This is what I said yesterday. A combination of Nelson and or Fitzpatrick or a linebacker, plus one of these offensive linemen I think are worthy of a top 40 pick, plus a second-tier running back, is much greater value than Saquon Barkley and one second-tier offensive lineman.
Yeah, you know, strength in numbers there.
That's my opinion. And while maybe Nelson or Minka Fitzpatrick aren't quite the prospect Saquon Barkley is, I would much rather have Nelson or Minka Fitzpatrick, plus a second-tier running back, than just having Saquon Barkley. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts on Saquon Barkley is you better be pretty darn confident that you want this guy because of the longevity of the position. I mean, this guy has got to be a guy that you think can be a Hall of Fame player and that can play 10 years for you. Now, running back playing 10 years? I mean, right? So what do we give him? I mean, how long did Tiki play?
Eight.
So
nine,
we'll
maybe.
We'll
I have to check.
Okay, stayed in great shape. You know, didn't have a whole lot of injuries, that kind of thing. I don't know what his deal is with injuries in college. Was there? Many?
He was pretty healthy.
Pretty healthy. Mm-hmm. So, and some guys are just that way.
And
Tiki
also probably retired with a couple good years left on the docket.
Yeah, I agree. He thought his career in broadcasting would be a little bit better, but anyways, I think that. I'm probably going to go with you on the numbers because I just – and this all predicates itself if the Giants do really believe in one of these quarterbacks is worth what they want.
That's why I'm putting the quarterback aside for
exactly.
now.
Exactly. So let's just put that aside. And let's just say that they don't believe that these guys are anything that are going to warrant this pick, especially if some team's going to give them this scenario. Then I'm with you on trading down and getting the picks. But I will not do any of this, even with Saquon Barkley, if I believe that Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen is going to be your guy.
I agree with you. And look, me and you have had this conversation many times, and I'm in agreement with you. But if you take the quarterback out of the mix, for whatever reason,
then
you don't believe in him, whatever.
I'm on this one.
It's hard for me.
Because, and I'll tell you, you asked
go
me.
Go ahead, please.
Well, first of all, you know, you're getting a variety of players here that can help your team, especially mm-hmm. this one right here. Okay, my belief is that the Giants want to try. They're going to need to go out in a free agency and get a free agent offensive lineman. I think that's where they're going to have to go.
I agree. And they will try to get one of the top free agent offensive linemen, whether it's Nate Solder or Norwell or whatever.
I gotta believe it's going to be a tackle.
There's only one, but and the Patriots might not want to let him leave.
Wow.
Nate Solder is the only, in my opinion, above average starting left tackle that's available.
Where is your list of offensive tackles? So
in the draft?
Yeah, right here. Right. Okay. So
yeah, here's your list right here. Connor Williams, Mike McGlinchey, Orlando Brown, JaMarco Jones.
And those are the orders they're ranked right there? Oh, those are the grades? Okay, 7-4.
Wow. Again, and these are grades based off of NFL.com.
Look at this grade. 7, then it jumps to that.
Well, dude, Quentin Nelson's really good. That's why I would love to get him if I traded down to 5 or 6.
I mean, do you get this guy at 2? I mean, in theory – this pick has to be a 10-year Hall of Fame perennial Pro Bowl guy.
And he has, honestly, in my opinion, the best.
He could be that guy.
The best chance you have of finding a 8-time Pro Bowler in this draft, taking position value completely out of the equation, is Quentin Nelson. Yes.
And it also is going to depend on, you know, this is also going to depend on free agency with Justin Pugh.
But it'll be the first time, I think, ever a guard was picked, maybe even in the top 5, let alone the top three.
Well, if that's the kind of pedigree that he's bringing to the table, you know he's going to be a Pro Bowl player. There's no question. He's going to be that guy. So, but I am with you with the numbers.
Yeah, to me, folks, it's hard for me to say I'd rather have Saquon Barkley or Chubb, for that matter, Chubb the defensive end, than Nelson or Minkah Fitzpatrick plus one of these second-tier running backs. I'll take the two guys. And by the way, as Jeff mentioned, you're getting another asset in that trade, too, from the 2019 draft, whether it's a first or a second or a second and a third,
well, it's gonna
whatever
be a
the
high
case
second.
Might be.
It's going to be a very high second.
It will be a high-value pick. So you're basically getting 3 players for the price of 1.
And a pick.
Well, I'm counting the pick, a player you would get from that pick. You're trading Barkley or whoever you would pick at number 2. You're getting the one this year.
You're one of these guys here, right? You're not getting Fitzpatrick and Nelson.
No, one or the other. You're getting Nelson or Fitzpatrick,
a
second-tier running back,
right, okay.
And then you're getting another high-value pick in 2019. I know people love Saquon Barkley, and he's a special player. I'm not arguing any of that. The Giants were 3-13 last year. They need more than one guy.
Well, I think that they need to start where Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur have talked about, and that's with that offensive line and the guys up front. And to me, you know, if you're going to go after a Quentin Nelson at number 2, people will be – they're going to think you're crazy, okay? But –
I guarantee you when Dave Gettleman watches his tape, he is going to literally fall in love. We're talking about Valentine's Day before the show. He will send Quentin Nelson a big Valentine's Day gift. He will love this guy.
Look what Pat Shurmur and that offense did in Minnesota by rebuilding that offensive line in just 1 year, okay? They might just bring that same recipe to the Giants and try to do the same thing because they believe in Eli, mm-hmm. okay? You got to believe that if Eli can play at a level with a good offensive lineman, then this is where they go. Okay, free agency and the draft. There might be 2 linemen taken in this Giants draft this year.
Yeah, especially if you make this trade.
Well, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm going to be interested to see what some of the fans think. I'm going to guess that most of the fans are going to take this.
You mean they're going to want Barkley?
Yeah, yeah, because that's the wow factor, and listen, you're going to get a great player. You really are. He's going to be very dynamic,
sure.
Not only in the running game and the return game,
but I think Quentin Nelson and Minkah Fitzpatrick are going to be great players too.
I mean, you just look at some of these linebackers on some of these other teams and how they play, and it's just, you know, in today's game.
Or Tremaine Edmonds or Roquan Smith, take your pick.
But in today's game, you just cannot have those guys that have their feet in the cement linebackers. No. You got to have guys that run and are athletic. Look at Miles Jack, what he did, I mean, in the playoffs.
How about Telvin Smith, his teammate
in Jacksonville? And how much did we talk about Miles Jack 2 years ago? I mean, it was just like – you know, so I think that there is some value in that linebacking position in today's game. I mean, when you look years back between the time Carl Banks and now, I mean, where were they? But I think the game has changed so much that the linebackers are just big safeties, you know, and they're guys
that
need to cover, and they need to be able to have some speed to get off of blocks and make some tackles.
And, Jeff, the run-pass option – I think has made the linebacker position a lot more
valuable. You agree that the term of the year was RPO?
Yes.
In the NFL?
Absolutely.
I mean, every broadcast, RPO, RPO, RPO. I mean, it's just – but it's the way it is.
That's what they were doing. I mean –
and why?
Got to
call
because,
you know what? All the quarterbacks in college are running RPO plays. The running backs are running RPO plays. The linemen are running RPO plays.
Well, here's why, Jeff. It's very simple. The four quarterbacks in the championship games. You had Tom Brady, but after that – you had Blake Bortles, you had Nick Foles, and you had Case Keenum.
Yeah.
These guys are not big-time quarterbacks. Run-pass options make things easier for the quarterback.
And
so
even
that's
look,
why those teams
the Rams
those
did a
plays.
Little bit of it, too.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
So, I mean, all these young guys.
And you've seen it more and more. The Chiefs did it with Alex Smith a ton.
Why not?
Cowboys did it with Dak Prescott a little bit.
Why not?
I mean, the Eagles did it with Carson Wentz, who was an MVP candidate, for goodness sakes. It makes things easier on the quarterback. Anyway,
yep.
Let's get to the calls. 201-939-4513. Again, get on Twitter, hashtag Giants chat.
A lot to talk about.
What do you think about a potential Giants trade back in the draft, or do you want your superstar at number two? Let's go to Dave in Vermont. He will lead us off first. Dave, good morning.
Hi, Dave.
Hello. I'm a longtime Giants fan.
Very nice.
Fan in the Gifford-Kyle Road days.
Okay.
But I have a question about I don't have a question about the draft, but I have a question about the defense.
Sure.
I've been wondering why the defense fell off so much in 17 versus 16. And I remember between seasons, Spags, I hope I'm quoting him correctly, he said the guys are now in college and next year in the 17 we're going to graduate school. And I was just wondering if maybe he made the defense a little bit too complicated. I was wondering what you guys think about that.
Well, I'll answer that. The big problem with the defense this year was injuries, okay? Lots and lots of injuries on that defense. And I also
I'm talking about before that. Earlier in the season, they still weren't that great.
Well, no, you're right. At the beginning of the season, they just you know what? I don't think that Spags has tried to change, you know, as far as going to graduate school. I think that the guys I think they rested on their laurels. I really do. I think they came into this season saying that, hey, we were so good last year that we can just show up and, you know, maybe the preparation was not there and just, I don't know, it just did not work. But those are some of the things, in my opinion, that had to do with it.
Well, really quite frankly, I'm not sure the reason, but the players did not play as well. Janoris Jenkins was not as good this year as he was last year. Olivier Vernon and Jason Pierre-Paul, I thought both took significant step backs. I know both guys are dealing with some injuries. Obviously, Eli Apple wasn't nearly as good this year as he was in his rookie year. Landon Collins had injuries towards the end of the year. So I think it was a combination of performance and injuries, and you put those together, and again, did they rest on their laurels like Jeff said? Yeah, it's possible. Who knows?
And I actually
Jerry Reese made that point midseason. He thought they might have a little bit.
And Dave, I heard an interview from Spags at the Super Bowl, and a lot of things. And somebody had asked him about the defense last year, and he had said that, you know, they lost those games early in the season. And the guys just started pressing too hard. They were trying to do things that they're not supposed to. They were out of position, and you know that was part of it. And then the injury started to creep in towards the middle to the end of the season. And then you had the suspensions and all that kind of stuff. So you throw all that into it, it gets you three wins.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So you don't think the design of the defense had much to do with it?
No, because I think the design, and when you look at the year before, the design was fine. They were one of the best top five defenses in the league.
Now, Dave, somebody that knows a lot more about defense than both Jeff and I, and that's Carl Banks,
yes,
was at times critical of some of the calls he made on third down, blitzing late in the game sometimes and putting some guys on an island where they maybe couldn't handle it. And I think those criticisms are certainly fair. But I think a lot of those decisions came because the Giants couldn't get there with their front four anymore, and that goes back to the performance of guys like JPP and Vernon and the injuries they had.
It always
so
goes
I think,
back to the performance.
I think that performance affected the play calling. So do I think the play calling was different this year than last year? Yes, but I think Steve Spagnuolo felt like it had to be a little bit different because of the way his players were playing, if you know where I'm going with that.
Okay, that makes sense.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're Appreciate welcome. It, Dave. Good call. 201-939-4513. Scott is out in New Mexico. It is early for Scott. What's up, pal?
Hi, Scott. I would say hi, Scott. Hi, guys.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, John.
It is early. It's so early you can't talk. No, it's not that early. What's it, 12:30 there?
It's 12:30 here.
12:30, 10:30.
I had a couple of things. I was listening to you, John. I think you made some sense, but it's also going to take another team, whoever they trade down to, because it takes two to tango.
Oh, correct.
And both teams are looking for offensive linemen, and I think everyone would recognize that the two biggest weaknesses on the Giants right now are the offensive line and probably some of the linebacking core.
Well, Scott, here's the trick, and you're right. You do need two to tangle, and I do think it does frustrate me when people just say, oh, trade down, that's easy. You can't just wave a magic wand and then trade down. Somebody has to trade up. You're absolutely right about that 100%. And it's funny. Do you know what player is going to really help determine whether or not the Giants are even able to pull off the type of trade I just talked about? Kirk Cousins. Because if Kirk Cousins goes to the Broncos, or if Kirk Cousins goes to the Jets, or, frankly, if one of those guys even signs somebody like Case Keenum, they might be less apt to move up for a quarterback. And if that does happen, you're right, the Giants might not be able to trade down. But I think at this point, it's relatively safe to assume that I think one of those two teams will probably be in need of a quarterback when we get to the draft at the end of April. Is it a guarantee? No, but I think it's more likely than not. If not one of those two teams, then maybe a team like the Dolphins at 11. If the Giants want to move down that far, which frankly, I wouldn't. The only way I would is if you're getting a 1 this year, a 2 this year, a 1 next year, and then I want more than that if I'm going down that far.
Yeah, yeah, because they know, listen, that 2 is a coveted spot. I mean,
right. You're
going to have to really pay for that spot if you want it. And I got to believe you got to get 2 ones out of this deal.
And I think Gase likes Tannehill. I don't think the Dolphins are desperate for a quarterback to the point where they're going to give up the house to move up to get one.
Where's Dolphins at? Were they at
11th?
11.
They're 11th.
Wow.
That would be a lot to move up from there. And then the other team that would want to move up, if I could bring up my draft order here real quick, the Cardinals, another team that's going to be in the market for a quarterback. And the Cardinals select all the way back at 15.
That's too far.
I don't want to move back that far.
The Cardinals aren't going to give up that much.
Or the Bills. I mean, do you want the 20th and 21st picks in the draft?
I don't
want to move back that far.
No, because you know what? Now I'm getting into players that I in my opinion, you got to be in, like you said, you got to be in the top 10. We got to be in the top 10.
And obviously 11's on the cusp there. Scott, the Giants went 3-13. It sucked. It was really rough to watch.
I want a
premium player. I want my reward for 3-13, and that's not picking 15th in the draft.
Right. Well, I'm still a Saquon Barkley guy only because I think he's an iconic back.
And that's understandable.
In the same guise of an Ezekiel Elliott, only probably with a little bit more skill set. And so I think the one thing all teams covered, or at least that all teams say they covered, is they want a running attack.
And that's true.
You need a premium back to have that accomplished, and the great teams always did it. If you look at Seattle and obviously with Beast Mode and so forth, these teams actually had a running back that could do that. But my questions in regards to the offensive line.
Sure.
And then I have a question in regards to special teams. On the offensive line, have they totally given up on Ereck Flowers? Because there was a portion of the season where he looked like he was unstoppable at his position. So I'm just querying you guys as to why, with the skill set that he had in college and with the great coaching that the Giants had with Flaherty and the new coach they have now, why isn't he able to grasp the concepts of being able to change his technique so that he can become the tackle that everybody wants him to be?
That is the quadrillion-dollar question, Scott. I mean, that That's the question.
I think it all boils down to is and I'm not going to throw him as he's the only one in this position.
Right.
I think that there are a lot of players in the National Football League that do not, and I mean do not, take coaching well. They refuse to change. They figure, I made it here. This is what I'm going to do.
And his whole life he was told he was the best at what he
And so I think that there comes a point in time, which is now. We've always said we'll give him 3 years, right? Wasn't that the kind of the number? 3 years, we're going to see how he does. There's a point in time where you draw the line in the sand, both as an organization and as a player. They have to understand that you're either going to do it one way or you're not. And I think that is where Eric Flowers is today. Okay, Hal Hunter, the new special or the new offensive line coach, you know, he's a guy that's been around the league for a while. He's going to have to do something with Eric Flowers, whether it's move to guard or at least try to keep him at tackle and coach him. Because Pat Shurmur in his press conference, if any of you remember hearing what he said, a lot of times I like to look at the players that we have on the roster and make them better before we have to go out and get a bunch of other people. Okay,
right.
So they're doing their evaluations now on those guys and understanding that maybe this is a guy. And I don't think that a team is going to quit on Eric Flowers after 3 years. They may try to repurpose him, and maybe that's put him at guard somewhere.
Scott, let me say this too. And Jeff knocked out of the park. Okay, this is not about Hal Hunter. This was not about Mike Solari. This was not about Pat Flaherty. Okay,
this is about Eric
Flowers. Is he ready to take that next step as a player? Like you said, he's 6'6". He's 325 pounds. He has every physical tool in the box you'd want. No, the Giants have not given up on him. They would be foolish to. He's under contract this year. He's got talent. The question is, can he make those corrections technique-wise necessary to become a good player? And I don't know if he can. We'll find out.
We're going to.
My last question is really, and I can take this off the air, it goes to both of you. I know Jeff, I'll be involved in special teams. I looked at the Giants' stats, and obviously they weren't very good for this year. And I think it's a category that's really underlooked most of the time. For good championship teams, most of them have good special teams play. And if you look at I was looking at some of the stats, Brad Wing, I think, had a net average of 36.7, if that's correct. Their punt returns, they only average 5.5 yards per punt return.
Both of those are bad.
Their kickoff returns were bad. Aldrick Rousas and Brad Wing both had terrible seasons, obviously.
It was a rough year.
What can the Giants do? Because they haven't really been prime in that category for a number of years.
Okay.
What can Pat Shurmur do to make the special teams, forgetting that Dwayne Harris was injured, what can the Giants really do to improve that category? Because without that, no matter what the Giants do on offense and defense, if you don't have good special teams play, you're really not going to go anywhere.
Okay, I think
thanks, guys.
Good call.
I'll quickly address it, and I'm going to give you an example. Take a look at the Tennessee Titans special teams, okay? The year before, they were not very good. Okay, they went out in free agency, and this isn't going to be a sexy free agent acquisitions, plural. They went out and got two really, really good special teams players, okay? And like I said, they're not sexy. You know, you're not even going to know who they are when they bring them in and sign them. You're going to be like, oh, okay, that's great. But they have to improve and get a couple guys on special teams that's their core position and that they can contribute on other parts of offense and defense. But they will make a big difference in coverage, okay? They'll also make a big difference in leadership. The other what happened with the team last year is the direct result of injuries on an NFL football team, it gets trickled down to special teams because now most of your guys on special teams are guys from the practice squad, the guys that didn't make the roster at the beginning.
Yeah, because the guys that were on special teams before are now starting.
Exactly. Right. So you lose a lot of your special teams core people. But to answer your question, I think they've got to make a splash in free agency for a couple special teams guys. And by the way, what I was telling you about the Titans is they were number one in gross punting, number one in net punting. Their field goal kicker didn't – I think he missed two field goals. I mean, those are all kind of individual things, but – you can make a splash in the free agency market with some good special teams players and really not know much about them, and they can come and help you. The other thing is with Aldrick and Brad Wing, those two guys have tremendous skill sets. those guys got to grow up a little bit, and they need to work a little bit more on their mental parts of the football game. Not so much physical, mental parts of it. Brad Wing, when he has a bad kick, you know, he'll fall apart. The next thing you know, he has another bad one. You got to let those things go. Aldrick Rose, same thing. He's got all the talent in the world. Got to work between the ears for kickers and punchers. That's where you have to do it. They get those things fixed. Maybe one or two guys on acquisition from free agency. Maybe get a young linebacker in the draft that's you know, not going to be a starter right away, that can contribute on special teams. They're going to be able to help your special teams out, because this team was awful at it last year. They really were.
Let me go back for a second. The first point he made real quick on that call was, you know, Barkley could be an Ezekiel Elliott type back. Not sure he's going to be the workhorse between the tackles guys Elliott is, but I agree that Barkley is probably going to be a better receiver than Elliott is, and he could be a kick returner. He can do other things. But I will say this too. As many accolades as the Cowboys got for drafting Ezekiel Elliott, and yeah, it's worked there, no question.
Look what's in front of him.
Well, that's a good point. But number two, I really wonder if you gave, you know, Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones truth serum, if they would tell you, if they can go back in time, would they pick Jalen Ramsey instead of Ezekiel Elliott?
That'd be hard to say because of what Jalen Ramsey has done. And they, you know,
well, remember, he was, those are the two guys they were choosing between. And they believe that, everyone believed Jalen Ramsey could become what he is now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's a lot of people in Dallas that think the Cowboys made a mistake and they should have taken the corner, because they felt like the second round of that year, I forget what running backs were available, but they could have picked one of those second round running backs instead and had Ramsey and the running back. So, again,
I think Saquon Barkley is if you're going to get him, he's going to be instant impact on your football team. He's going to
make a
huge, huge difference. He's going to be a guy that everybody will have his jersey. He's going to be that type of player. He's going to be electric. He's going to almost like Todd Gurley in a sense. You know, he's a guy
sure.
that's going to make plays both in the return game and on offense. But you got to improve that line, because I don't care who you are, if you can't run, if you don't have an offensive line.
And he doesn't have the off-the-field issues that Elliott has either, of course, which
yes.
is another important yeah. part of that factor. All right, let's go to Ethan in Chicago. He's up next on line three. Hi, Ethan.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you, Ethan?
Doing well. Big Giants fan. Moved to Chicago not too long ago, but 25 years in New Jersey near the Meadowlands. So.
Congratulations.
All right. So I got really just one question regarding the draft.
Yes.
And I was listening to you guys earlier about the potential of trading down to 5 or 6, and you pick up a really early, you know, second-round pick this year, coupled with the Giants' second overall pick in the second round, that you could potentially rebuild the offensive line with. My question is, do the Giants trade down knowing that a player like Saquon Barkley will be off the board at 5 or 6, or is there a chance he even drops to 5 or 6? You pick up the extra pick in the second round, and then you build the offensive line with those two very high second-round picks.
Here's why that's not going to happen.
Because he won't be there.
The Browns pick twice between 1 and 4. If he's there when the Browns pick a quarterback first, and they're sitting there at 4 and Saquon Barkley's there, guess what? They're taking him.
Right, yeah. No, I see that. That doesn't make sense. It crossed my mind.
Okay.
You know, players like Minka Fitzpatrick are in there. You think maybe the Browns jump on him. But, yeah, that's just wishful thinking, I guess.
Look, Ethan, is it impossible that he's there? No, it's not impossible, but I think it's highly, highly improbable.
So you do trade down as a Giant knowing that he's off the board and really focus on maybe, like you suggested, a Quentin Nelson type of 8-time Pro Bowl in his career caliber player.
I think you assume he's going to be off the board, and if he happens to be there, you take your card and you sprint to the damn podium.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Well, thank you for taking my call, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ethan. I appreciate it.
And, you know, I think another thing that we have to look at is with the amount of money that I don't know the number that the Giants are going to have in free agency to go out and get some of these people. Okay, so you know it's going to determine. I think a lot of the draft, what we're talking about with offensive linemen, it's going to determine what they're going to address in the offseason as far as free agency.
Sure.
And where they're going to fit this need. So, you know, if they go out and get a guard or a tackle or a center in free agency, that's going to depend on one of these guys and what positions they play and where they are in the draft. So, you know, but I do believe that you can still build a good offensive line with a good free agent acquisition and a couple second-round draft pick offensive linemen easily.
Sure.
You could easily slot those two second-round draft picks in as starters.
Depending who's there, obviously. But yes.
No question. But I mean, so fast forward into that did happen. You've got a guy, you know, a new tackle or guard or center in free agency. You got two new offensive linemen in the draft. There's three people there. You don't know what's going to happen with Justin Pugh. I imagine, in my opinion, he's not going to be back because he's going to be a very coveted offensive lineman, mm-hmm. being able to play dual positions. So then you got you guys coming back. You know, I still think you got to look at center. I think that Weston and
Brett Jones.
Okay, are those the guys you want? You know, I don't know. I mean, I know Brett Jones did a nice job filling in, but is he a real NFL caliber center that they believe in? You know, he's very undersized. I don't know the philosophy of Hal Hunter and Pat Shurmur, if he's a guy that likes linemen that are really big.
Yeah, I don't know that either.
Or guys that are quick.
It's a good question.
You know, so all of this is going to go into the philosophy, if you will, affecting what John and I are talking about in the draft and drafting and, you know, dropping down and getting some extra picks. But you know, I wouldn't bet my life on it, but I would be a betting man. I would say that the Giants are going to come out of this draft with two offensive linemen, in my opinion,
and probably in the first four rounds.
I gotta believe they're going to have to, because there's no depth behind the guys they have now that had a hard time playing last year.
And again, maybe, and look, worst case scenario, and look, when you now analyze this stuff, you have to take that into consideration. And the worst case scenario here is that people aren't inspired by the skill position players in this draft. You know, they're not inspired by the pass rushers. And the team say, you know what? We think these offensive linemen can play. And what happens if 9 or 10 offensive linemen go in the first round? Then you're sitting there early round two and you're like,
you got nothing to pick for them.
Oh, no.
Now what?
Right. Now,
you're going after that running back.
You can go deeper. You know, do you like the Tyrell Crosby out of Oregon? Maybe Jamarco Jones out of Ohio State. Then is it picked there in the second round? Is it impossible that happens? No. Is it improbable? I think probably. You just usually don't see, I mean, 5 interior offensive linemen going in the first round of the draft. I don't think that happens all that often. I'd have to go back and look at the history of it.
I think you would, but I think that I, some of the
– I will do that for next week,
I think you and I were talking about this before we came there. Some of the draft boards and mock drafts that I've been seeing, there's been 6 or 7 offensive linemen going in the first round this year, whether they're tackles or interior guards and centers.
And from 18 to 32, I've seen 3 or 4 guards and centers in that area, which is why it does get a little scary at 34. Who is going to be there?
And you notice in the draft, historically, how these positions go on runs. One team starts it, and next thing you know, there's 3 or 4 taken off the board in the next 6 picks.
And how often have we talked about how there's a paucity of good offensive linemen in the NFL. Every team needs offensive linemen.
And most of the time, I think this is an exception this year with Quentin Nelson. Quentin Nelson jumps off the board. Then the rest of the guys, their grades are very similar. You know, you got on that one grade, it was a 7-3 or something, and then it drops down to a 6-1.
And then everyone's kind of within.
And everybody kind of punches, and that's where you see those runs because they're all the same.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe the Giants at the top of that second round have a number 2 and a number 4 at the second round. There's your run. Maybe the offensive linemen start going in the last picks of the first round into the second.
Or how about this? What happens if that run happens at 22 or 23 and there's only one guy left that the Giants like, but then all of a sudden, wait a second, we traded down. We have 2 second-round picks. Maybe we can package those guys
to go up and get one
and move up to get the guy you want.
Never know. Yeah, I think it's very fascinating, and man, if we could ever just be a fly on the wall in these draft board days, wouldn't it be great? I mean, to the draft, I mean, just to be in there and hear the talk.
You got to talk to Eisen. Eisen's in there. He has all the secrets.
Yeah, he has all the secrets, but it's under lock and key.
Oh, lock and key. What, are you kidding me?
There's no way.
He'll tell you, then we'll have to kill you.
Yeah.
Brandon in Secaucus. He's online, too. He's up next. What's up, Brandon? How are you?
Hey, Brandon.
Hey. Hey, guys, how you doing? Season ticket holder, and these tickets have been in my family since the Polo Grounds.
That's awesome.
Long time now.
Great.
You excited about going back and seeing the Giants play this season coming up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Like, I'm in my 30s. I mean, I've seen it all. I've been there since my dad used to take me in the old stadium when I was in the late 80s and early 90s. That's how far back we go. That being said, I think, guys, we're denying the inevitable. I firmly believe it's going to be quarterback.
Yeah, you might be right.
And you're right. We can all say trade down, trade this, trade that, but this is a quarterback-driven league. And I look back to the 2004 draft. Eli, Rivers, Roethlisberger, those guys were phenomenal. And, you know, Ernie, he couldn't hide his love for all three of them. And in that draft, you had Fitzgerald, you had Gallery. Gallery was like the can't-miss offensive lineman. So there was like all this hoopla leading up to the draft. Oh, you can't go wrong with him, Sean Taylor. And you really couldn't go wrong with anything. But ultimately, they went quarterback. And I look at this draft, we're number two, and there's some serious talent here. Now, they could be nothing. They might, you know, who knows. But I think it's quarterback. It's the most polarizing position in all the sports. It is the way to go.
Brandon, so, look, Brandon, you're absolutely right. And me and Jeff are on the record. If the Giants do look at these quarterbacks and they believe that either Darnold or Rosen or Mayfield or Allen is their next franchise quarterback and they're sitting there at number two, you got to pull the trigger.
And you also got to believe this. And there is some truth to this if you think about this, okay? You got Deshaun Kizer, who's the quarterback in Cleveland, okay? They took him. Are they going to quit on him? There is a chance that the Giants might have their pick of the litter with the second pick at all these quarterbacks. There may not be a quarterback off the board.
And frankly, Lance's theory is that maybe the Browns don't have a huge preference as to one of these four guys they love.
They would pick Barkley
at one, and then they would wait to pick their quarterback at four. I happen to think that's unlikely. I think the Browns pick their favorite quarterback at one and take him.
And what do they do with Kizer? He was a first-round draft pick.
New regime, my friend. Do you know what new regimes do? They take what the old regime does and they throw it away.
Hugh Jackson's still there.
But I mean, hey Jeff, let me tell you. I mean, we have to learn from past experience. I mean, do Giants fans remember the late '90s of the Kent Graham, Mike Cherry, Dave Brown era?
And you know what? A funny thing. A lot of fans don't. A lot of these younger fans don't remember those days and what it was like trying to get from Phil Sims to Eli Manning. It was not easy.
Yeah.
I mean, thank God for Kerry Collins. That gave us some stability. But, I mean, guys, I mean, Jim Fossil was an offensive mastermind, I believe. I mean, imagine if he was given a decent quarterback, who knows what could have happened. But, guys, Giants fans, buyer beware. Guys, remember, we don't want the quarterback carousel again. If we have a chance to grab the next franchise QB. I mean, it worked out for the Packers. Aaron Rodgers waited 2 years, and then boom, he was stepped right in. They didn't miss a beat. This is a quarterback-driven league.
Yeah, and listen, I do not have a problem with the Giants drafting a quarterback and sitting him because they've already committed to Eli, and I only look at the one season coming up. That's all I can look at. Okay, I don't know what's going to happen in 2019.
It's a year-to-year league.
It is, and you know what? You got Davis Webb on. They're going to develop him and see how he's going to do. And then if you have the other guy they just drafted at number two, what's so bad all of a sudden if Davis Webb develops into a quarterback that they think can be a good quarterback and he's your backup?
You could trade him for an asset.
Or trade him. Look down the turnpike what happened this year. They've got two quarterbacks down there. You almost need them this day.
Well, and then go up 95 to New England. How to work out with Jimmy Garoppolo up there.
I think that a lot of people are just, you know, let's take 2018. It's Eli Manning. You know it's going to be Eli Manning. Let's build the offensive line and give Eli a shot. And if they're going to take the quarterback at number two, let's just kind of bring him along. Okay, bring him along and work with him. But 2019 is not here until 2018 is over.
You don't have to worry about 2019 today.
You don't.
No,
you don't. You do not. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you
you're
this.
You're right.
And I don't think that the Giants will be picking in the top five next year. I really don't think that's going to happen.
We hope not.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Brandon.
Yeah, thank you. Good call, Brandon. Thank you.
Excellent call. And again, the caveat we had at the beginning of today's show was that we're going to take quarterback off the board just for the sake
of
our exercise.
We have to.
But I think Jeff and I have said enough times on the show that if they're sold on one of these guys as the next guy, you got to pull the trigger.
And I think they will be sold. I don't know who, but I think that they're going to. I think this is a good class.
And just be ready, folks. This thing's going to go through cycles. Okay. And, and Jeff sees this every year.
Oh, it's going to be Darnold. It's going to be Rosen.
1 week, it's Darnold. And then the next week, Darnold's going to get killed and Rosen's the guy.
Right.
Then the next week, Rosen's going to get killed. It's going to be Josh Allen that's the guy.
Right.
And because, then Allen's going to get killed. Then it's going to be Mayfield. And then it's going to go back to Darnold again.
Yeah, because they all have their pro days different. And they're going to be in the combine. And it's going to be this.
And your anonymous scouts are going to leak things to the media.
That anonymous scout.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, that guy. That anonymous scout is a guy somehow that knows how to get on social media and make his point known, and he's probably a 21-year-old guy that doesn't even work for a team.
Or it's somebody that within an organization that has an agenda, and he's trying to push it with his front office.
Interesting.
I mean, there's a million different ways these things go
down.
Well,
we've talked about this, how a lot of organizations around the league will purposely leak information to try to get something out of it.
It's called lying season for a reason.
No question. Yeah, it is.
Well, just like a few weeks ago when somebody said, oh, this quarterback class isn't as good as last year's quarterback class. What? Are you kidding me? Mitch Trubisky is better than all the quarterbacks in this class. Really, that's what you're trying to tell me. And don't tell me, oh, Deshaun Watson. Nobody was picking Deshaun Watson in the top five last year, okay? Guess what? There's going to be two or three guys that go in the top five this year. Period. Okay?
We can't have that talk and have facts involved in it until these guys are done and they've played. We can't speculate on these guys at all.
And, you know, and by the way, I should point out that Sam Darnold did say at the Super Bowl that he will throw at the combine, which should be fun. And I hope that means Rosen, Mayfield, and Allen will follow suit. And even Lamar Jackson and the kid from Oklahoma, too, Rudolph. Hopefully they all go and throw at the combine. Yeah. How much fun would that be if all those guys threw at the combine? Oh, man, that'll be fun.
Well, I kind of like Sam Darnold, the way he's taking this. He's saying all the right things.
He says all the right things,
He's got somebody in his camp that's telling him to do the right thing.
He just seems like a good kid.
But I think that what is there to hide? You know, and if you believe in yourself, then go out and show people, and you know what? Maybe you catapult yourself as the sure number one guy instead of everybody speculating, well, he didn't throw at the combine, and, you know, he said he didn't want to play for Cleveland. And this guy doesn't care where he goes. He knows he's going to be in the top five, six picks of the draft. He wants to show everybody that he's worthy of it, and that, to me, I like. I don't like the guys that are hiding back and saying, hey, I've already shown you enough and this and that. You want to know something? When you get to the big leagues, people aren't going to give a crap about what you said back there. They want to see a worker. I want to see a guy that comes in and is going to play and become a leader. This guy sounds like it to me. The other guys, you know, I don't know.
Well, Josh, let me tell you, Josh Allen at the Senior Bowl, dude, he sounds like a leader.
Good.
And everybody I talked to that was on the North team with Baker Mayfield, they said he was like the most charismatic guy they've ever been around. That he's, you know, you have that guy that just has that magnetic personality that everybody just, you know, he talks and everyone is just like,
he's like that. He's like that guy that you kind of have a group of friends, and he's always the one that's always taking the lead on everything. He's always dominating the conversation.
That's what he is.
The funny guy, and then he always gets the nicest girl, right? I mean, that's just kind of the way it works. But
And Rosen too. Rosen's the most polished guy. He's going to step in there, and he's going to be able to handle an NFL offense better than any of these guys right away.
And Josh Allen kind of reminds. I don't know. I don't want to compare the two, but you know, they're both from. Obviously, Carson Wentz came from a smaller school. You know, I think Josh Allen comes from Wyoming, not a big powerhouse football school. So you kind of, you know, a little similarities in the sense that maybe he models himself after Carson Wentz being like the small school. You know, that's the kind of guy. He's a big dude.
Mountain time zone, Wyoming, North Dakota.
There you go, right?
And, you know, all that.
But
sort
you
of
were
stuff.
There. I mean, he's a big dude, right?
No, he is. He is. 6'5". He's very. Yes, he. But aside from his accuracy issues and on the field issues, in terms of tools and, you know, mentality off the field, the type of person he checks every single box you would ever want to check. But he also completed 56% of his passes.
Okay.
Which is a problem.
Yeah, it says generate good velocity, all this.
Oh, he's got a cannon, man.
Yeah.
Dude, he was throwing the ball so hard the Senior Bowl receivers were having trouble catching
it. I saw that in some of the practices.
Cannon.
And the thing about
he makes some throws you're like, oh,
and you know what you
man.
Notice at the Senior Bowl? These receivers that come from smaller programs, they when they get out of their routes, the ball is there, and they're like this. Oh! You know,
it's
like, okay, that's right. That's a Division I quarterback, and your guy that was throwing to you was probably never going to play in the NFL.
You are correct, sir. Christopher in Tennessee, our final caller of the show. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how y'all doing today?
We're great, Chris. How are you?
What's up, Chris?
I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm happy to be on the show.
No, happy you called.
I've been calling for a while. Yeah. But I just got one question, and I'll take it off the air.
Bring it.
okay, in the first round, we trade back.
Okay.
Then if we trade back, we get a lineman like Nelson, you know. And then if we get the, a grab bag of picks, can we move back into the first round with our second overall pick? You see, and how far can we go up to get another, like, Will Hernandez or the guy out of Georgia?
Okay.
That's what I really would like to know.
You mean and, using? You mean moving back into the first round to have a second first round pick? You mean?
Yeah,
but yeah, have another first round pick. Yeah,
but you're probably going to have to give up that next year's first round that you got for trading down.
Unless you want to trade both your twos,
for two that would equal a one.
You would either have to trade both your twos this year to move back into the first round, or you'd have to trade that one from next year's draft.
And if you did that, you got to be sure that the guy you're going to get is going to be there.
Correct.
Okay, and that you could do it. Yeah, it's a, yeah. There's so many different scenarios.
No, but you're right. And
it's fun to talk about them.
No, you're absolutely right, though. That's one of the benefits to trading down. It gives you so many more assets to basically do whatever you want. I mean, if you look at the Browns this year, and this is why the Browns are so dangerous in this year's draft, they I think, have, what, six picks in the first 50 or some crazy number like that? They could literally do whatever they want. It's crazy.
Well, didn't last year they have 14 picks?
It was something like that.
It was a crazy number.
Crazy.
I mean, in the teens, you're only allowed to have seven, right? I mean, you're only supposed to have seven. Giants, remember, only have six this year because they traded their seventh for Russ Cockrell. Remember that.
Which is great, which means we have to stay here a little bit less late on day three of the draft, by the way.
And let me ask you, and thank you for the call. We appreciate it. I think that pick, I think that trade, I think will be well worth a seventh-round draft pick to get. I think Russ Cockrell had a nice year last year. I really do.
He did.
And I think that for a seventh-round draft pick, I think that was a good trade.
Yeah, and I think there's a good chance he's back. He's an unrestricted free agent, but I think if you can get him on a good contract, I don't see why you wouldn't bring Ross Cockrell back this year. Good guy, too. Very nice guy.
Is he a free agent?
Yeah, he's unrestricted.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think – he's an unrestricted free agent.
So they,
all right,
yes.
So they can tender. They can do whatchamacallit. They're going to be able to still get him if they want him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, by the way, the Browns have – six picks in the first 65 picks of this draft. First, fourth, 33rd, 35th. They have four picks in the first 35 before the draft starts. The 60th pick from the Eagles and then the 65th pick in the draft, which is their own. That is bonkos. Not to mention their $100 million in cap space. I'm telling you, folks, the Browns are going to turn this around quicker than people think. They really are. I know you don't want to hear it. The Browns are not going to be a bad team next year unless John Dorsey totally falls on his face with these draft picks and in free agency.
Well, you got the Cleveland Browns have a true football guy there now with Dorsey. I mean, he knows what he's doing.
And Jeff, their defense isn't terrible.
No,
and their offensive
not.
Line is okay.
Hey,
they just need some skill position guys on offense because, boy, the cupboard is bare. Josh Gordon's really your only guy. You know, Corey Coleman maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
And they drafted Njoku last year to play tight end. From Miami?
Yep. And remember, you got, is it Miles Jarrett, right?
Yes, the defensive end, Miles Garrett.
Garrett, who by the way, he played pretty well last year.
When he finally got healthy.
Yeah.
That guy is going to be good football player.
Yeah.
It's time for everyone's favorite game.
I like this.
Did he play with Jeff Fiegels?
I don't have a great memory.
22 NFL seasons.
Wow.
Hundreds of players.
Fiegels with the Eagles.
Let's see who Jeff remembers.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
Here's your host.
That was just so...
John Schmelk.
All right, here we go, Mr. Fiegels. You're off to a hot start. You're 4-1 this year. If you keep doing this well, I'm going to have to cancel the contest.
I'm taking memory pills. Behind the scenes.
I'm surprised with everything you have going on off the field right now that you're doing so well. You have a lot going on.
I do. I'm focused here.
You talked about supply and demand. You're dealing with some supply and demand in every facet of your life right now.
No question.
All right, here we go.
All right, let's go, John. What you got?
Did you play with Steve Johnson? Did you ever play with Steve Johnson?
Yes, I did. He was a running back for the Cardinals.
You did play with Steve Johnson, but he was a tight end, and he was with the New England Patriots in 1988. Sorry. All right, you guys. All right, that's a good way
See,
to start with a big
loss.
That's
why we play this game, so John can laugh when I get it wrong.
You said it was his confidence. Did you play?
Who was it, Johnson? It was. Oh God.
With Floyd Dixon.
Oh God.
Did you play with Floyd Dixon?
Big Floyd, what's up, man?
You have no idea.
I think I did play with Floyd Dixon, and he's a lineman, maybe?
What team?
Oh, jeez. Arizona?
You just made that up.
I'm on Arizona. Was he a lineman, though?
No, he was a 5'9 wide receiver that was 170 pounds that played with you in Philadelphia. Good old Floyd.
Man, where is my memory gone today?
Did you play
with
Aaron Wallace? Aaron Wallace.
I'm going to be consistent. Oh, yeah, definitely Aaron Wallace from Seattle.
Wrong!
Where did you get the wrong one? I haven't heard that one before. No, it has not.
I haven't. You maybe haven't used it
before.
You
haven't used it.
What is it?
Let me hear it.
You know what that's from? You know what that's from?
No.
That is from the McLaughlin Group. When SNL did a spoof of the McLaughlin Group of John McLaughlin, and that's Dana Carvey doing John McLaughlin.
Wrong! I usually just get the wah, wah, wah. That's good. All
Wait,
right,
I got a few I haven't used.
Oh, yeah. No.
Well, that evens it up now. So I went 0-3
yeah,
today.
Yeah, you are a 4-4. Wow. This is what you call a massacre of epic proportions.
I think last year I started off below, you know, I was bad, and then I kind of made a run.
You did. That was a rough one, though.
That was really rough.
I'm very proud of myself.
So out of the three, did I play with
You played with Steve Johnson. You played with Floyd Dixon.
But I did not remember them. Who I played?
Yes, you just made up fictional players. And you said, "Oh yeah,
it's brilliant. It's not that easy."
Oh,
you know that
Big Floyd at 5'9", 175. No, I knew Big Floyd.
I tried to act like I seen Big Floyd walking down the hallways. I'm like, "What's up, Floyd? What's up?" You know, like I don't know. Everybody, have a good weekend.
Good day, sir.
Have a good one. Have a good weekend. We'll see you on Monday, everybody. That's Big Blue Kickoff Live on this Friday afternoon. Enjoy your weekend, folks. We'll see you Monday.